If I were to ask a question in here, who trusts the Lord? I bet you just about every hand would go up, wouldn't it? Because we all trust the Lord. But what about those that are feeling stress and they're uncomfortable and they don't know what to do? And yet they're a Christian who trusts the Lord. What does that look like? I know what it looks like in my life because this has been a wonderfully full week of stress. One thing after another, after another, after another. And I would sit there sometimes paralyzed, scared to death. I'm taking a trip to Germany and I'm looking at all this stuff that's going on over there. And the person, my daughter was going with me, and then she couldn't go with me, and now I'm alone. And just one thing after another, after another. And I had a choice. And my choice was I can stay paralyzed in my situation, or I can trust God. It's human nature to have a knee-jerk reaction. You know, when my wife was told that she had an aneurysm on her brainstem, I was scared. I worried. I was fearful. That is okay, because that's who we are in this broken world. We are human beings. But as I prayed through that and made a choice, again, trust God. And I trusted God, and my wife is still with me today. So I'm pretty happy about that. I was asked one time whether or not I've always trusted God. And I would always say, yes, I always did, but no, I never did. Because when I was growing up, it wasn't about trusting God, it was about trusting me. So I decided to call this time of speaking with you folks. I mean, shoot, Bob gave a neat title last week. So I decided to call this trust, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we all know what the good trust is, don't we? Trusting God with all of our heart. Not leaning on our own understanding, all things, acknowledge Him, and He's going to direct our path. What's the bad trust? How about trusting in ourselves? I'm going to trust me in this one. God, you've done a great job so far. I'm going to let you take the day off. I'm going to trust myself in this. I don't need you here. I'm going to trust you. And then that's the bad and the ugly. Trusting God on our past failures. Anybody ever done that? We can trust God, but it's all filtered through that prism of failure. Hebrews 12:1 says, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet that it trips us up. And let us run with patience that race that God has laid before us. That verse tells me two things. Number one, it says God has a unique plan for you. He said, run the race that He sets before us. We don't all run in the same direction. We don't always run to the same goal. The goal of Jesus Christ is our ultimate goal, but He has a plan for each and every one of us as the body of Christ to trust Him in that area that He is taking us. And we just need to trust Him in that. The other thing I saw in that is we need to get rid of some baggage, don't we? Have you ever tried to run a race with a backpack of rocks on your back? And we're not asked to run a sprint, we're asked to run a marathon. We need to get that stuff off of us. I remember a pastor one time, he walked out on the stage to preach and he had swim fins on. And he was talking about looking to God in that great race. He says, how do we do that unless we take off the swim fins, if we take off the heavy stuff that's on our back, that we get rid of all those things, the emotional things that cause us to continue to think that we are in the past, and we still continue to filter those things through the past. How many here remember that old saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but it's a lie. We know that, right? It's a lie. Because those things that come into our minds at an early age, they stay there. I had, you know, people coming to me from the Salvation Army as I was teaching down there, and they said, my dad told me I was worthless. They wish I'd never been born. You're never going to accomplish anything. You're ugly. I wish we'd never had you. Those things don't go away. And it doesn't have to be that severe, but there are things inside of us that those tapes keep playing. We need to get rid of the tapes. How do we do that? How do we get rid of those tapes? Got to trust God. Not just in the big things, but the little things. Isaiah 48:18 says, forgetting the former things, do not dwell on the past. We can forget the past. But he didn't say to ignore the past, did he? We have to deal with the past in our lives. Those past hurts, those pains, those addictions, those things in our past that cause us to do what we do. So as we trust, we move forward. What about our fear of the future? Anybody comfortable where they are right now? Anybody a little concerned about what's going on in the world? Does that impact our trust? I bet it does. It certainly affects mine. How many here have ever had an unhealthy friend in their life? Okay. When that unhealthy friend left, I want you to think hard on this. Did it hurt a little bit? I had unhealthy friends, and I was comfortable with them, and when they left, it hurt. Well, that bitter root that was living in me for some 46 years, when that thing left, and I began trusting God, something happened. And what happened was, when I was in pain, I couldn't escape to where I wanted to go to not think about what's going on. I ran from the pain to my addiction. What I found out after I found the healing through God and through a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, when that pain hits, I need to work through it. I can't run from it anymore. So it's like an old friend. I could go to a friend that understands me, and I could talk to him, and we could kid around, and we could have a good time, but we would never have to deal with those serious things in our life that cause us to not trust God. It's critical. I like to stay in my comfort zone. Up here is not being in my comfort zone, guys. My comfort zone, I love to go down to Salvation Army or in my CR group. I love that. And I love to speak at other churches. But in front of a large group without a specific Celebrate Recovery message, I'm out of my comfort zone. But you know what I found out is trust is universal. So I can weave CR in there and weave just common living through that. So I'm excited about that, actually, that I have an opportunity. 1 John 4:18, where God's love is, there is no fear, because God's perfect love drives out fear. When we live in fear, it is very difficult to trust God, next to impossible. If people have known me long enough, they will hear me saying three things that stand in the way of our development. It's pride, it's trust, and it's control. Pride tells me, and I was stuck on pride for a long time, I can do it myself. Pick myself up by my bootstraps and do whatever I need to do to get well. Even after painful crash after crash after crash, I still was so pride-filled that I would not allow God to come in and begin the work in my life. Not very smart, but I thought I was smarter than God. And I chose to follow that path. Well, pride kind of has a ripple effect on the other two, doesn't it? Because pride tells me I don't need to trust God. Pride tells me I'm doing pretty good by myself. And, you know, God gave us all a free will, didn't he? You know, that free will didn't work all that well for me. It got me in a heap of trouble. And it wasn't until I took my will and turned that over and accepted God's will in my life that I began to turn the corner and began to trust. Control. Does that have something to do with pride? I want to control my destiny. I want to control people. You know, there are a lot of things that stand in our way between God and ourselves. And people are quick to think about, well, there's drugs, there's alcohol, there's pornography, there's this, that. What about some of these things? How about people pleasing? How about codependency? How about anger? How about being in a relationship where you're not willing to work on it? How about if you dig your heels in? How about the ministry that you're doing? Could that ever stand in the way of your relationship with God? What about the workaholic? It's always on the go, climbing the corporate ladder. Could that stand in the way of our relationship with God? And all of those things are doing one thing. They want to control the outcome of their life. They want to control, you know, people think that the people pleasers and the codependents are just wonderful people. But the root cause or problem with the codependent people is whether they understand it or not, they're trying to control. They want people to like you, so they're going to say and do whatever it takes to make you like them. That is not a genuine friend, folks. A friend is somebody that will speak truth to you in love. Based on all the stress that I was going through this week, as I was coming in, I asked some people if they would pray for me. You know something? What is wonderful in this congregation is stop and pray for you. How cool is that? I've been in church all my life. Never felt the freedom to do that. And Shudo Benton, he even noticed that I was wearing new glasses. He was the only one in three weeks that noticed it. But Lee came in second. He said, I like your new haircut. And you know, it wasn't a new haircut, but then he said, oh, and the glasses. I like that. Well, have you ever been hurt by somebody? A confidentiality has been violated? Something that you have said in confidence to somebody is now open season? Ends up on Facebook? It's tough to trust that person, isn't it? I remember I had a pastor that I was struggling in my marriage, and I went, this was back in California, and I went to her or him and said, I'm struggling. I laid out everything. And the next time we got together, my wife was there, and he had shared everything, and we were talking together without even bothering to tell me. That hurt, because that trust was violated. It was violated tremendously. But I wasn't ready at that time to do anything about it anyway. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. One of the things my dad told me when I was growing up, he said, the only time you fail is when you quit. There's an extreme that you can take that. And in all my failures, I can do this. I can pick myself up by my bootstraps and I can move on. Well, since I've come back to that personal relationship with Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm trusting Him, I don't have to worry about picking myself up by my bootstraps. I pray, I trust God, and I trust Him for the decisions that come from it. Let's put this thing down in Proverbs 3:5-6 was the primary verses that I wanted to talk about. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does that mean? What does trust in the Lord with all your heart mean? Unconditional trust? So anybody have any ideas? I'm sure Bob does. Please? What does trust mean? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Surrender? Good one. What are some other ones?
No worry.
No worry. What other? She pinged on me.
Conversation.
Okay. We have to trust. We have to look at Him as our Father. I don't know about all you, but I had a great relationship with my Father. I loved Him passionately, and He loved me, and He loved me unconditionally. And I could talk to Him about anything. And I never, ever, ever doubted His trust for me. And if I can do that with my Father, because my Father left me. When he was 57 years old, he died and he went to heaven. But I was only 21. And I was angry because God took him away from me. My kids didn't get to meet the best grandfather in the whole wide world. And I was angry. And I began to spiral. I didn't want to do what I felt I needed to do. I still wanted the persona of being a good Christian man. Because after all, I was normal. I had a wife, three kids, a dog, cats, a mortgage, two car payments. I had everything that took to make me normal, right? But then I had to play on that because I kept moving. I started driving cars I couldn't afford. I started living in houses I couldn't afford. I started wearing clothes I couldn't afford. I started taking trips I couldn't afford. All to keep that bubble around me so that I didn't have to worry about anybody else. I was trusting in me and me alone. It wasn't a fun place to be, but I developed that mindset that if I'm going to get all these people off my back and that are trying to, I just need to be the person that gets to the top of that ladder. And when I was in corporate America, I was throwing them off the ladder as I was going by, or I was climbing up over the top of them. I didn't care. I wanted to get up here so that I could look down on them. Because when I was down here, I thought they were looking down on me. I was trusting here. Lean not on your own understanding, the second part of this verse. What does that mean? Okay. Others?
My understanding is flawed.
Flawed. There's a lot about you that's flawed, Bob. I'll make amends afterwards. When our feelings are involved with our trust, goes back to what we were talking about earlier, it's filtered through who we were or who we think we are, or the past, the hurts from the past, the pain from the past, the lies that have been recorded in our minds year after year after year after year, the years that we didn't trust God and we weren't able to really even understand what true trust was, and we kept doubting and doubting, and wherever our feelings took us, we went. And you know, our feelings will always take us someplace. Not necessarily a good place, but it gets us to a place where we have to think and we have to choose. Are we going to follow my emotions, or are we going to do what's right? I remember I had a pastor years ago, my son, 2 years old, so that tells you how long ago that was. But I was talking to this pastor, and we were talking about our kids, and he said, "So tell me, what do you do when you come home from work and Daniel's on the floor and he wants to wrestle and play with you? What do you do?" I said, "I get down on the floor and wrestle with him. He's my boy." He said, "That's right. You do that out of desire, don't you?" I said, "Yep." He says, "What about when you come home dog-tired from a trip and you're dragging into the house and all you want to do is throw the suitcases down, lay down on a couch, and watch TV? But your son wants to wrestle. What do you do?" I said, "I wrestle with him." He says, "Did you want to?" I said, "No, I want to rest." He says, "You did that out of duty." And if a desire changes to a duty, as you do it with duty, you will always go back to the desire. That was a message that was given to me 1986, and it's still very fresh in my mind. Duty and desire. In all things, acknowledge Him. We need to acknowledge God in everything that we do. Not just the big things, not just the little things, but every single thing that we do. Get up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for a new day. And when you get my age, I say that with heart, that it's good to see a new day. But we need to continue to just acknowledge Him in everything. I had to make a decision before I came up here. "Lord, I'm just going to trust You. Got a lot going on. I'm just going to trust You. I'm going to trust You in what I'm supposed to say. I'm going to trust You in whether the audience, the people here like it or don't. There's someone here that is identifying with it, and I don't know who that individual is, but I always know when I speak, somebody, God places somebody there to hear what I have to say. I just believe that. And He will direct your path. What does that mean? If we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and we don't lean on our own understanding, and we acknowledge Him in all things, He's going to direct our path. That, folks, is pretty cool. Because it takes a lot of pressure off us, doesn't it? We make a decision, and we pray about it, we trust God in it, and we acknowledge God in it. In fact, in James 1, 3 through 5, it says, "If you want wisdom, I'll gladly give it to you. Just ask. But when you ask, have faith. Trust me to give you the wisdom." There is nothing that we can't do if we are bound in trust for God. I know that there are times that people take that scripture, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength to do it," and they kind of push it a little. You know, because I'm not talking about making all kinds of money. I'm not talking about driving fancy cars. I'm talking about a close and intimate relationship with God. And no matter what our situation is, He'll be there for us. I heard a guy once say, when he was told that do all things through Christ who gives him the strength, he said, well, and this was again a while back, he said, well, I don't necessarily believe that that is completely true, because if I stepped in the ring with Muhammad Ali, I'd get killed because I'm too slow, I'm too old, and I'm too scared. But in the reality, what Paul was talking about in his riches or in his poor, in his slavery, he was free, wasn't he? That God loved him and took care of him. He was able to do all things through Christ, who gave him the strength. In Jeremiah 17:7-8, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's us, guys. If we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, lean not on our own understanding, all things acknowledge him. This is what he promises. We're going to be living where we will always be nourished. That vine is always growing, and God is filling us with love, filling us with hope, filling us with peace, filling us with joy, filling us with the desire to work in the lives of other people, filling us with the desire to share what God has done in our lives, telling us that we can step out of our comfort zone and we can serve God in a way that we never thought we could. It means that whatever he chooses us to do, we can do. And the verse in Proverbs, if you desire, if you delight yourself in the Lord, He's going to give you the desires of your hearts. You know, the beautiful thing about that is those desires are the ones that God places there. Because if we're trusting in God, he's going to give us the desires. And I have seen people that have come up here on a Monday night scared to death, out of their comfort zone, but were willing to do the next right thing. God has a mission for us. And I'll tell you in closing that I am excited about where this church is today. I know that God has a plan, and that plan is a great plan. And let me say, in accordance with that, God didn't create anybody in this room to be depressed. He didn't create anybody in this room to be addicted or to be angry or to be codependent. He created every one of us in this room uniquely and wonderfully. And he created us with a plan that's greater than anything we could even think of or imagine. That excites me, because I'm seeing the plan in my life that is starting to unfold. And the neat thing that I have found with God, every once in a while when we're in that storm, he lets you peek through and see the peace on the other side to give that hope. An example of that, I was talking to my Heavenly Father, and I was very much in grief. And it was interesting that I was reading that chapter on a section on grief. And he said, and it was from grief to glory. That was the title of it. And I did not get it. I said, don't understand this at all. But when I was praying, I started praying for my children. And my children that I love desperately and are not living for the Lord. And I started praying and I started sobbing. I mean, couldn't pray anymore, just sobbed. And I sobbed and I sobbed. I said, Lord, I'm trusting you with my kids. And immediately I heard in my mind, Daryl, I waited for you for 46 years. I'm going to wait for your kids. And I trust that. Because now I understand what going from grief to glory is all about.